The old adage is you can't go home again. Well, that's not true in the Chiefs' kingdom. You can return home. And on this Defending the Kingdom, we welcome back Mecole Hardman to the fold, who says, I'm back to the Chiefs' kingdom with a electrifying punt return to help the Chiefs beat the Chargers. Of course, Defending the Kingdom is brought to you by Ticketmaster. Mecole Hardman takes it at his own 15, stops, waits, comes up to the near side, breaks a tackle at the 40-yard line. Mecole Hardman midfield gets a block on his feet and out of bounds at the Charger 33-yard line. Mecole Hardman, welcome back to the Chiefs Kingdom where you belong. And hi, everyone. I'm Mitch Holtis, voice of the Chiefs, along with senior team reporter Matt McMullen. This episode is entitled Return Home, but back on the road. And before we talk about returning home, let's jump into the satellite that is the MatStat and take our trip around the world on our own little virtual Defending the Kingdom satellite.
That was a good segue. That was good. We have some good ones this week. We have Ryan checking in from Bartlesville, Oklahoma. Familiar with Bartlesville?
Oh, yeah. Phillips, the company Phillips, right? Phillips 66, that's Bartlesville.
I had no idea, but shout out to Ryan.
Oh, yeah. Also, Oklahoma... Christian College. So they have a college there. It's yeah, for sure.
All right.
Yep.
Shout out to Caro and Mattis from Dortmund, Germany. We've shouted them out before, but I mention it because they were here for the home opener against the Lions. Feels like forever ago now, but 7 weeks ago. And they wrote kind of a memoir about their time here and how exciting it was. Of course, they would have liked to see a win, but they said they had an amazing time in Kansas City doing all the Kansas City stuff, and they will be back. And we'll see them here in a couple weeks, which is hard to believe. It's almost here.
And speaking of that, at the Chiefs Kingdom show this week, a family from Frankfurt, Germany came in for the Charger game. Four little kids, right?
Wow.
Yeah. It was like Funf is even, like, you know, so they came in because they wanted to see it. They were having such a great time at the Kingdom show. They didn't want it to end, right? Think about us being little kids coming to, and they're headed back to Frankfurt, Germany, and we'll see them soon, too. I wish I'd have gotten their names. I feel badly. But I'm thinking, what? This family came in for the game.
Yeah.
So it's awesome.
It's a ways away. Like, when I was there in May, you realize how far away you are. Mm. And I think it's so cool that people are coming here from Germany just to experience not just the Chiefs, but to experience Kansas City. I think it's so cool. And that's a connection that's just now growing and going to continue growing here for years to come. Speaking of far away, we have a listener in Sydney, Australia. And a listener in Wollongong, Australia. Never heard of Wollongong. It's south of Sydney. I mapped it, but shout out to both of you.
On the coast?
Yep.
Not inland. Okay.
In New South Wales.
All right.
Yeah, learned that today.
You know the NFL's going to have a game there soon, right?
They sure will. Yeah. I always look at the international footprints. If you don't know how this works, so the Chiefs, for example, are allowed to market in Germany, Mexico, Austria, and Switzerland. Those are the only countries internationally the Chiefs are allowed to market in. Other teams have their own markets too, though. I think the Rams have Australia and New Zealand. So I always look at the schedule for future years, and it's like, it's possible. We could go one of these places around the world. Who knows?
Even those one-off NFC, like we're playing the Eagles this year, right? Even a one-off game could be against the Rams in Melbourne or Sydney.
Sure could.
Yeah.
Get those travel miles. Russ is in Fresno, California, surrounded by Raider fans, he says, but trying his best to convert them. And then lastly, I was watching the Kansas City Marathon on Saturday because one of my best friends, Sierra, was running in it. Shout out to her. She finished in like 5 hours. I could never do that. But there
Where's Sierra from? She's from?
From Dallas, South Dakota.
Dallas.
Yeah.
South Dakota.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Right on the Nebraska border, right?
Yeah. Little teeny town. But anyway, watching the marathon, we're just hanging out. We went to like different locations to kind of cheer her on. And there was the same guy throughout the race would see me and say hi and said he listens to Defending the Kingdom. So I didn't catch his name, but shout out to you and congratulations on running the marathon.
He
was running the marathon and saw me.
Oh, Matt, hey, I love this. Yeah.
I could never run a marathon. I ran like 5Ks in high school. I can't even imagine doing that now. So shout out to everyone who ran the Kansas City Marathon, especially that guy.
But he had enough oxygen in his lungs to shout out to you.
It was like no problem at all. Like he was like on a stroll around the park or something, running like 26 miles. I don't get it. But impressive stuff.
That finish line, of course, means everything to that 26.2 miles that they run. But it also means something to people when they return home. The National Football League is interesting. that, and I remember this, and I was talking to McColl about it, but I saw his family right before, it was the game day. It was game day of Super Bowl 57. And I'm thinking, you know, he had been dealing with the injury, but it was his whole family, right? And it's such a great family and a background. I thought, but what happens after today? And then he became a free agent. You know, that last day of school, everybody scatters, and you're like, am I going to see this guy again or this guy again? And so he signs with the Jets. But now McColl is back. And when he ran that 50-yard punt return against the Chargers, to watch the video, if you can go back and find it or find the All-22, watch the reaction of the team. It was like their little brother came back home and just made the honor roll. It was terrific to see the reaction that you can come home again. And how happy is McColl Hardman to be here?
Yeah, really, really awesome having McColl back. I can't remember who told me this. This was years ago when I first started working in sports. And someone mentioned this, that when a season ends, whether it be with a championship or with a heartbreaking loss or whatever it may be, the cold reality is that team will never be fully together again. The stars might be back, and a lot of the players might be back, but the entire team will never be together again, just the way that the business works and the way that sports work. And McColl obviously left in the offseason, and you and I doing our jobs, we get to know these guys as people, and McColl has always been one of my favorite guys in this building. He is warm, he's funny, he's energetic. He helps us win on the field, but he's also so friendly and awesome off of the field. And it's, again, the business of the NFL. Guys leave, they go elsewhere. And I was happy for him. I wanted him to succeed in New York. But it's almost surreal that now, after 6-7 months, he's back here and he right away is making big plays to help the Chiefs win. I'm just so excited that he's back here. And whenever he has the football in his hands, he's capable of making a big play. We saw that on Sunday. That 50-yard punt return, and then on third down, Patrick Mahomes goes to him to move the chains that keeps that last drive going. Isaiah Pacheco was in the end zone one snap later after that third down play. That iced the game. McColl Hardman helped us win 4 days after getting back here. I'm just so happy for him.
I'm not sure. Of course, this is my 30th season as the voice of the Chiefs, and I grew up with it as a little kid, right? The little kids out there in the kingdom, I was that kid, and so were you.
Yep.
Growing up with this team. But honestly, I'm not sure I've been around a guy that has had so many big plays in the history of this team that is so underappreciated about those plays.
Uh-huh.
It's really interesting. And a lot of them have been like complimentary plays to set up something. His 58-yard kickoff return, I've said this over and over and over again. The Chiefs are down 24-0 to the Houston Texans.
No momentum.
Zero momentum. I said on the air, all it's going to take is a spark. Somebody has to give this team a spark, because it looked as bleak as it could possibly look, right?
Yeah.
And people, oh, it's another playoff loss, and gosh, there's, you know, this team's going to – and all of a sudden, he has a 58-yard kickoff return, which I loved about the punt return the other day. I told you this before we started the podcast. It was almost the exact path of the 58-yard kickoff return against Houston. Once McColl had that kickoff return, it set up a month-long explosion that led to Super Bowl 54. There's countless plays like that in McColl Chiefs' career that people don't appreciate enough.
We don't win the Super Bowl without McColl in 2019, because we don't win that Texans game without McColl, because you're right, we needed the spark. How about the 13-seconds game against the Bills? Maybe the greatest game of all time, right? You go back and watch the highlights. One of the clips you never see is McColl had that huge little drag route that he took for like 25 yards that set up the game-winning walk-off touchdown to Travis Kelce. You never really see that highlight, but that play set it up, and he was playing hurt in that game. And also, how about San Francisco last year? So the Niners have dropped 2 games in a row. Before that, they had not lost a regular season game since they lost to the Chiefs in the middle of the year last year. McColl had like 3 touchdowns in that game. We just don't ever really talk about it, but he's a playmaker. That's what he is. He makes plays, and I'm just so glad he's back here in Kansas City. And again, wasted no time. I mean, it's not easy to come to a new place, even a place that you've been before, and contribute right away. He had been here for 4 days, 1 real practice, 2 technical practices, goes out there and makes plays. It's awesome.
His play against the Ravens, it was like an 80-yard touchdown. His 67-yard punt return against the Dolphins in the COVID year of 2020. I don't know why the kingdom has forgotten those plays. And you know what's a unique dynamic right now about McColl Hardman? It's almost like he's getting more respect now because he left and came back than he had when he was here. The other thing is, he can also influence a game without the ball in his hands. Here's why. He brings an element on the Chiefs love the jet sweep, the flip pass, and he gets to the edge. That San Francisco game is a great example. He will get under the armpit of a speed rusher like Nick Bosa in that case, and then it sets up and respects, or it makes defenses respect all the shifts and motions that the Chiefs do, because you have to think about that speed and quickness getting off the edge. And people have said, well, we already have Kadarius Toney. Don't overlook the fact that those two could be in the game at the same time. And you could, again, he does not have to affect the game with the ball in his hands. He can do it just being a threat at what he does.
We were so excited about the prospect of McColl and Kadarius being on the field at the same time last year, but the way it worked out, they never truly were, because we traded for Kadarius. I think his first game was the Titans game.
Yeah.
And McColl played in the Titans game, but was hurt immediately after that, and then only played again in the AFC Championship game and didn't play a lot in that game. So we never really saw them on the field at the same time when they were both ingrained in the offense, and we might now, which is super exciting. You're right, though, about the jet sweeps. His speed is so smooth around the edge. It's hard to quantify that, but just watching it, he can do it like really no one else can. His speed is so smooth around the edge. He doesn't break stride, and he knows how to hit the hole outside around the edge. That's where he's so dangerous. And also just stretching the field. You have to respect his speed deep as well. So, again, McColl Hardman back in the building, already making plays, and he's only going to grow on this offense moving forward.
People say two Jets now because we have Jerick McKinnon. Well, part of the allure of these guys is the fact that they were both like highly regarded five-star quarterbacks in Georgia, right? So they both have these Jets were made in Georgia and create all kinds of opportunities. But I love it, the fact that you had a chance to finally catch up with McColl, and people are now going to feel the excitement of him being back.
Yeah, I'm bummed out that you weren't here for it, because like a million things are going on today, and we have like a 1 hour time frame where we're supposed to do like 14 things, and it just worked out where Mitch had to go do something else. But I got to chat with McColl just a few minutes ago, just about football, about life, and being back in Kansas City. He is back. The Jet is back. McColl Hardman, only been here about a week and already making an impact, helping the Chiefs win a game on Sunday. McColl, just first of all, how's it feel to be back in Kansas City?
Excuse me.
Yeah, do your thing, yeah.
All right, okay, cool. It's great, man. I love being back with y'all guys. All the coaches and the coaching staff, the players, just the atmosphere, the energy here. I'm excited to be back.
When you found out you were gonna come back here, and you found out the Chiefs wanted you back, what were the emotions like initially?
It was definitely emotions everywhere. Because, you're still at an organization that you still want to, be a part of and do things with. Obviously it didn't work out. And coming back to your old team, it's like kind of like a blessing, because you don't have to, relearn nothing. You don't have to, learn new offense. You ain't got to meet new people and, a new city and, get acquainted with certain things. And just to come back to something that and that you're very familiar with is, is a plus.
There's all the footage of you out there at practice, and your first day of practice, I think, was Thursday. You're just dancing with the guys. It's like you never left. I mean, was it kind of surreal that there was like this six-month gap, but you were just right back where you started?
Right. No, it was just like that moment of energy that I always have, that I always bring. And I think I'm just going to continue to, bring the energy to here, the positive energy and the excitement, and, just do that the best way I can to try to keep everybody, full of the energy. So,
and people like on the radio and everything wondering if you were going to play. In my mind, I'm like, he's definitely playing on Sunday. And you made an impact. That 50-yard punt return, walk me through that. And then what's it like as a return man when you make that first guy miss and you hear the crowd start to get louder and louder? Like, what's that feeling like?
Oh, yeah. So, the punt before, I should have ended up catching, but I let it go. And I thought I was going to go in the end zone. And, actually, it was a great punt by J.K., but Toby was like, hey, you got to go get that, man. I'm like, all right, cool. So the next one, I'm like, I'm going to catch this no matter what. Like, if I get hit, I get hit. And I had a lot of room. I'm like, oh, man. And then the first person missed. Once that first person missed, especially when you're in the middle of the field, it's like, oh, yeah, this is a 67% chance I can score this score the touchdown. And just going through my head was like trying to get to the outside and cut back, but I never got a lane to cut back. But 50 yards, I'll take it.
It's pretty good. Set up the game-winning touchdown drive or game-sealing touchdown drive. You were doing your under-the-helmet interview a few minutes ago. I was listening to it. Your plan, because Dante Hall was being honored,
right.
being put in the Chiefs Hall of Fame. You're going to throw up the X if you scored. Was
yes.
that the plan?
Yes, that was the plan. Like, I didn't know he was getting inducted until, like, Saturday, I think. I'm like, man, you know, it's crazy. If I return one, man, kickoff or punt return, I should throw the X up in the end zone. That would be, like, iconic type thing, you know. And I should have still did it when I went to the end zone, like, celebrating. But, man, I wanted to score so bad just to dedicate him. Because, I like Dante. He actually a good friend. Every time I see him, we speak. You know, we have conversation and everything. So definitely one of those guys that I've watched film on and seen what he's done back there and how he did certain things. So definitely somebody you can learn from. But just the honor would have been crazy, though.
Now, the punt return was huge, obviously. People are going to remember that. What people might not remember, and they should, is your third down catch, because that extended the drive. Then one play later, Isaiah was in the end zone. Were you the first read on that, and how did it feel to get the football in your hands offensively and get that first down?
Yeah, I blame Pat that I didn't score. I could have ended the game.
Okay.
You know, because I am the first read on there, and I don't know what he was looking at first. Probably Trav, because Trav came open too as well. It was kind of like, man, I believe they ran, and I had just a drag route, over route. And if he hit me early in stride, I think I scored right there. But, you know, overall, I just made the catch and, you know, first down and, you know, everything, I guess, is history.
Yeah, one play later, Isaiah in the end zone.
Touchdown. Yep.
Now, you talked about this a few days ago at your press conference, but I think a lot of people don't realize what you had to go through last year to get back to the AFC Championship game. You missed all that time. You had the injury. Just walk me through what that was like, fighting through that, getting back to the title game, and then getting fully healthy in the offseason.
Yeah, so it was definitely a struggle because, I don't think I said in the press, but me actually tearing my groin was a blessing in disguise. I don't think I said that. I should have said it, but
and that was in the title game that happened.
Yeah, that was the AFC Championship game. Yep. So going back, I was just, you know, I was working back. Obviously, nobody knew I was in the hospital or whatever, but after the hospital and everything like that, I stepped rehabbing and actually started coming back pretty fast. Started running full speed and things like that. But when I started to practice, my groins would go out or my pelvis would start locking up or it would start shifting or I just keep getting cramps and I just never could get fully healthy. And I never knew why. I'm like, dang, like usually, because the doctors are telling me like every week you're going to get better.
Yeah.
Like you're just going to get better, better and better. I'm like, okay, cool. But I never seen that effect until like, the first 4 or 5 weeks, maybe I was getting better, 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 and I just went to a standstill, and it was and kind of was declining in a sense, and I didn't know why. Then finally, you know, obviously the playoffs get here. I'm like, man, I'm going to play in the playoffs. So we had the bye, I believe, and then we played the
Jaguars.
We beat them. I'm like, I'm going to have the next game against the Bengals, and so we played, you know, did whatever. I felt good, probably like 70%, 60%, and I'm like, I'm still going to play. Then on that catch, when I got hit for the first down, I tore my groin, and actually when I tore my groin and then I went to go have surgery in Philly with Dr. Myers, when he opened me up, he was like, I had, like, crazy infected tissue.
Wow.
Under my, like, where my pelvis at, like, it was, like, crazy infected. And I'm like, dang, that's why I kept feeling, like, my groin and stuff. Like, he was like, yeah, like, you was, like, I had to clean it out. Basically, so like instead of me like having like groin repair on my both sides, he actually repaired my pelvis, like the tissue that was above my pelvis or wherever it was at, to get all the infected area out because it was a mess. He said it was a mess down there. Like I had to really clean you up. And so usually it was like a simple surgery that really got a little complicated because he had to clean me up a little bit. And I didn't know that because when I woke up, I think it was me, Amari Cooper was there. Who else was there? Oh, I can't even think. Somebody else had the same surgery. I think Sauce Gardner was there, I believe.
Okay.
We was all there, same surgery, but I was kind of like more messed up. I'm like, why y'all walking and I'm hurting to do whatever, you know? But I kind of figured I was dead then. But after that, they happened. Finally went got the OTAs, didn't do OTAs, training camp, and finally, you know, didn't get healthy probably until like a week before the first game. And then after that, I was, you know, doing pretty good.
Yeah, well, you look pretty good now and looking good on Sunday. I want to ask you about the culture here, and this is nothing against the Jets because I have a lot of respect for those guys, but just now that you've had a chance to go away and then come back, just what's special about the culture here in this locker room?
Yeah, the standard, man, is crazy, you know. But, you know, when you go somewhere else and actually like here, so we would have been to, like, you know, a few Super Bowls, and So now here the standard is you know, is that, is winning, is get to that, you know. And over there is more so like, you know, we trying to establish the standard, you know, the culture, we want to establish what we're about. So that way we can, you know, play to that and then, you know, and with the mindset of that, getting to the big game, you know?
Yeah.
But here it's like it's already set. It's already established, and that's how we go about things. There's no, you know, working the way in or we're going to change this or change that. Like, when I got back, it's still the same thing. We practicing how we practice. We play how we play, you know what I'm saying? And Coach Reed ain't changed. Nobody changed. Everything is, you know, still the same. So.
Absolutely. And lastly, playing the Broncos this weekend, I think your first 100-yard game was at Mile High back in 2021. It's your thoughts on playing the Broncos on Sunday?
Looking forward to it, you know. Haven't seen the playbook yet or the game plan. Hopefully I'm in there a little bit so I can touch the football a little bit more, you know. But I'm excited, man. I love to play in Mile High. It's going to be a cold game, which is great. Kind of missed the cold a little bit. So just being out there with the team again, man, and, you know, play my role, do the best way I can, and hopefully come up with a win.
Well, I'm so fired up that you're back, man. I think about back in 2019, we don't win that Texans game without you starting everything with that huge kickoff return.
Yeah, man.
Think about the 13 seconds game. We don't win that game without you having that huge play that set up Travis's touchdown to beat the Bills.
Let's talk about it. First of all, listen, that's what I don't like, because I see all the highlights of Trav catching the ball in the end zone on the right side. But it's like, y'all don't show the play before how we got down there. Like, and remind you, I was hurt too.
Well, I remember that because I interviewed you after the game and I was like, you excited? And you're like, I'm hurting.
Bro, but I was hurt. Like, I had like it was a hip pointer or like something oblique. It was something where like I had to go in the locker room to come back out. Like, I was hurting that bad. And then literally like three plays later, like they called the overall. I catch it. I get us down to like the 10 and I'm like, if I wasn't hurt, I would have scored. But, hey, can we show this play, like, you know, to set it up? But, hey, I'm glad you said that.
Well, yeah, of course, man. I remember these things. And also, so the Niners have lost two games in a row, and everyone's talking about how the Niners hadn't lost a regular season game since we beat them last year when you had, like, three touchdowns against them. So, yeah, I remember these things.
Yeah,
don't worry.
Yeah, three touchdowns. Crazy.
Yeah, Chiefs Kingdom remembers these things. We're glad you're back. You're my mom's favorite player. You know that?
Ooh, tell my deuce. I said, hey.
Yeah.
I said, hey.
Yeah, when we heard you're coming back, she texted me, like, in all caps, saying, like, McColl is back. I'm like,
appreciate it, Mama.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
I appreciate you, man.
Appreciate it.
Again, he's got an infectious personality, but his football skills helped this team. Last year, I mean, he talked about it in his presser. Now, you and I were getting the indication that it was very, very serious of what he was going through last year. And we even heard some, you know, it could be really bad. But the fact that he was trying to get back to that AFC Championship game to be in the playoff run, but to deal with really kind of a scary ailment, but to see him recover from that is now a story that everybody is seeing.
Yeah, it's a testament to him. It's one of those things where the public didn't know about it until he spoke about it a few days ago at his opening press conference last week, and he kind of laid it all out there, and I think people have a newfound respect and understanding for what he went through because he was just away from the team. He wasn't practicing. People just didn't know. You assume it's just a run-of-the-mill injury, but he was really going through some stuff and then hurt his groin in the AFC Championship game. So he was working so hard to get back to that game. It meant so much to him. And to his credit, he made it back for that game and played and then got hurt again. And I was so beaten up for him that he couldn't play in the Super Bowl. But now he's back in Kansas City, and hopefully he can play in the Super Bowl this year. Why not?
And playing this week, because we're talking about, yeah, you can go home again, right? Home again, but back on the road. And back on the road means going to Denver for the second time in essentially a three-week period. It's a oddity in the schedule. It's happened now and time and again throughout the National Football League. But this Denver Bronco team, and I'm going to give them some credit here. They beat Green Bay last week by a 19-17 score, held us to 19 points in that 19-6 win on that Thursday night football game. I'm sounding the alarm this week because the Chiefs have got to be ready to be on their A game to beat a Denver Bronco team that has not lost its resolve. That's the best compliment I could give this team right now for Denver. Is they believe they can win this game, and the Chiefs are going to have to beat them to beat them.
Yeah, a lot of respect for them right now, because it would have been very easy after that Thursday night game that we played them just a few weeks ago and beat them for them to say, all right, let's trade everybody away. Let's just pack it in for the season. They didn't do that. I mean, this is a team that sure is 2-5 in the standings, but that win over Green Bay gives them the look of a team that believes they can turn this thing around. And the AFC is wide open. I mean, there's 7 spots in the playoffs, right? Like, they don't think they're out of it, and they're playing like they don't think they're out of it. it. And especially against us, they want to beat us like it's the most important thing in the world. So the Chiefs will have to be ready for this game. This is a team that obviously has a lot of talent. They've had a lot of bad luck over the last couple years, but it'll be a challenge for sure.
And can it change in 2 weeks, 3 weeks, really? Well, yeah. The Broncos have a healthier Javonte Williams back, and he was able to have, looking at it, he had 82 yards rushing in the game against Green Bay. That's the first time he has been 80 yards or more since week 13 of 2021. Remember, he had the ACL injury, but now he's healthier, better, maybe even more impactful perhaps than he was in that Thursday night game. They have Baron Browning back, who they brought off the injured list. For the Chiefs, though, now you're looking at Charles Omenihu, and you've got Mecole Hardman. And the Broncos are going, wait a minute, we didn't see those guys 2 weeks ago. But Omenihu, to me, I got so excited to see what he could mean to this defense, because this defense, to me, this Chiefs defense has not even scratched the surface yet.
Yeah, welcome to Kansas City, Charles Omenihu. Mm. His Chiefs debut, he has four pressures, played 51% of the snaps, had a sack, and also had a batted pass that resulted in an interception in the red zone. I mean, he was awesome. He's everything that we talked about what he could be in training camp. And in his first game with the Chiefs, he has fresh legs, and he was just incredible last week. Let's keep that going here in this game. Against a Broncos offense that they only scored 19 points last week, but I'll give them some credit. They found a way to win the game. We talk about the Chiefs in that sense a lot. We don't worry about what the stats and the scoreboard are. As long as we win, they find a way to win. Broncos found a way to win last week. Russell Wilson played well, completed 20 of 29 passes for 194 yards and a touchdown. Cortland Sutton had a nice game, had 76 receiving yards. Jerry Jeudy, nice game, 64 receiving yards, and big plays. So Jeudy had an 18-yard catch. Sutton had a 33-yard catch and an 18-yard touchdown. And you mentioned Javonte Williams, good young player who I think is finally getting healthy. But also Jaleel McLaughlin is a guy that we talked about going into the last Denver game. They don't give him the ball a lot, but whenever they do, he just makes things happen. I mean, last week he had five rushes for 45 yards, including a 23-yard run. This dude's averaging 6.9 yards per carry. Now, he has not had more than 10 carries in a game this season. He had seven carries for 30 yards against us a couple weeks ago. But he's a guy to be wary of. And if you're this Chiefs defensive line, if you're this Chiefs defense in general, which going into this game is the number two scoring defense in the NFL, by the way, has not allowed an opponent to score more than 21 points in a game all season, got to be ready for the challenge of all these playmakers, notably to start Javonte Williams and Jaleel McLaughlin, not allow Russell Wilson to have that play-action passing game working as well, because he has the receivers to have big plays.
One of the things the Chiefs did in to mitigate the Broncos' attack in that Thursday night game was to stay away from the big runs. Right now in this league, I believe I've got this right, only Arizona and Miami have more 20-plus runs than the Broncos, okay? And they had three guys that had 20-plus runs in the win over Green Bay, the aforementioned Javonte Williams, the aforementioned Jaleel McLaughlin, and Russell Wilson. Wilson is still fourth in NFL history among quarterbacks in rushing yards. But the thing that the Chiefs did to help win that game on that Thursday night is something that will be paramount in this game Sunday, and that is to slow down the Bronco runners as receivers. If you look at what they have done, we know about Samaje Perine. We mentioned him in that before the first match, and go back and watch his 41-yard screen pass for a touchdown with the Bengals against the Chiefs in that AFC Championship game in 2021. But these guys have had big passing plays as a runner. So what does that do? That gives the Broncos a chance to even have like a one wide receiver look, with that being Cortland Sutton, who had six targets against the Chiefs, six targets in the game you mentioned, and even go with two running backs at the same time. We talk about McColl and Kadarius being together at the same time. The Broncos can do that and have a threat to run it and to throw it. I just think there's issues here that the Chiefs have, again, got to be on their A game. You cannot look past this game if you're a member of the Chiefs kingdom. And then defensively, with Nick Bonito and what he's been able to do, be disruptive and hack the ball out. Mentioned Baron Browning come back. The Chiefs were 1 of 5 in the red zone against this team in that game on a Thursday night football. And so here's an interesting stat. Green Bay in this game on Sunday had, what, seven different guys catch passes, but none were over 30 yards or more. It was nuts. Or it might have been 10 guys. I think it was 10 guys. That goes back to 1950, meaning it was the Broncos that prevented the big play. So going into this game, there's enough there on the plate for the Chiefs to take care of to try to beat these guys.
the Broncos really had a reset defensively last week, and truly against the Chiefs.
Kind of started against the Chiefs, I think. Yeah.
The Chiefs had a lot of yards against the Broncos, and that's why we weren't too concerned about the Chiefs' offensive output, because they had 389 yards of offense, and Patrick Mahomes threw for 306 yards against them. But they held the Chiefs to 19 points. Now, this Broncos defense had their struggles at the beginning of the year, notably that Miami game, but that really skews all of the numbers overall. Like, when you allow 70 points and 700 total yards, it's going to skew the numbers for this season. The Broncos defense is a proud defense that has a lot of really good players on it that were there last year when it was among the best defenses in the NFL. So it doesn't surprise me that they have played well in recent weeks and played really well against the Packers last week. You mentioned it, though. The key for the Chiefs in this game is red zone. You cannot go 1-for-5 in the red zone. The Chiefs against the Broncos 2 weeks ago had 11 possessions. 9 of them ended in Broncos territory. And in the first half, they had drives that ended at the Denver 17-yard line, 15-yard line, 6-yard line, and 3-yard line in the first half. Only got 10 points off of those 4 drives. That's not Chiefs football. Now, fortunately, they looked a lot better in the red zone last week against the Chargers. I think Mecole Hardman helps us a lot in the red zone for the reasons that we've mentioned. Look back at the San Francisco game last year, how lethal he can be in the red zone. But you're right, you cannot overlook them. They have a lot of talent, guys like Justin Simmons on the back end, Pat Surtain on the back end. It'll be a challenge for sure. But the red zone, I think, is where this game will be won.
And it's supposed to be 37 degrees and snow. Okay,
it was 85 degrees here yesterday.
If you're going to try to upset a team that has beaten you, and I'm not even going to say the streak, I'm not even going to talk about it.
Because it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't
this
matter.
Game is what it is. And we look at what the Chiefs have been able to do on the road in the division, which is amazing. Think that Patrick Mahomes is 16-0 against the AFC West on the road. They've been better at home, I mean on the road, than at home. Andy Reid is 20-1 in the last 21 games on the road against the division. Doesn't matter. That's what coach is preaching this week. It does not matter. But can Denver pull off an upset? First of all, they believe they can win. That's the resolve. Two, runners as runners, runners as receivers. A defense that's stingy when you get down to the – and then we didn't mention Mims. Mims, as the returner, the rookie out of Oklahoma, a 99-yard kickoff return against Washington. He's had another explosive 60-yard-plus return in the punting game. They can get chunk plays in the return game as well. Just saying, the Chiefs have got to take care of their business this week and go out and beat these guys. But you're going to have to knock them out. This won't be by decision.
Can I leave you with a very fun stat?
Sure.
This is a great stat. This is super.
Are we off the satellite now? Or are we still going around the Earth?
Well, this is kind of like a satellite. Like someone way smarter than me came up with this, but I saw it earlier today and I think it's great. So there is a stat out there called DVOA. Many of you probably know what that is. It's defense adjusted value over average. I do not know how it's calculated. Computers figure all this out. It basically tells you how good an offense is, how good a defense is, and how good a special teams unit is relative to the rest of the league. This is all figured out by a guy named Aaron Schatz. He says the Chiefs are the first team to be in the top 5 in all 3 phases, so offense, defense, and special teams, and DVOA, as of week 7, since the 1999 Rams.
Yeah, we know how that
team was
out.
Pretty good.
Yeah,
they are the number 3 offense, according to his metrics, the number 5 defense, and the number 2 special teams unit. Just the 7th team since he started tracking this stuff, which dates back to the 80s, to be top 5 in all 3 units. In week 7 of the season. Pretty amazing. So, yeah, pretty cool, huh? We're so used to the offense being so good, and the defense has gotten better and better every year. But right now, we are in uncharted waters with how good this defense is playing. The offense was electric last week against the Chargers. We know what they can do. And the special teams unit, Harrison Butker, has been incredible this season. And you just add Mecole Hardman to the mix. We saw what he did on Sunday. This is a special team, and I think we can't lose sight of that.
But you got to take care of business in this league every week. We see it every week. Somebody gets ambushed. Take care of your business this week against the Broncos. And this defense in offensive yards allowed is the best for the Chiefs since the 1997 Chiefs. You're going back to the days of the late Derek Thomas and Neil Smith. But when I watched it, rewatched the game against the Chargers, and there was different combinations. That goes back a couple of episodes on Defending the Kingdom. But when that group had Chris Jones at left defensive end, Aminahou at left tackle, I should say, different guys at right tackle, right? It could be Felix. It could be Mike Dana. It could be Turk Wharton. And then Karloftis at right defensive end. It took me back to, like, my real childhood of the Buck Buchanan, Curly Culp, Jerry Mays days, because they were a wrecking crew. That we haven't seen a front play like that across the board, really, I think, since way back when with the Hank Stram-led Chiefs. But we know this. You can go home. You can return home, but you also have to go back on the road.